Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be discussing the rescue of Iraqi Christians. You know, if you've been watching this program for any length of time, we've been talking about ISIS and what is happening with the radical Islam, and particularly the persecution of Christians and Jews. And we brought many segments and stories relating about this. And we've been saying something has to be done. And we've encouraged you to pray for those who are being persecuted. Well, let me tell you, God has answered our prayers. Johnny Moore, the author of Defying ISIS, basically met King of Jordan and a host of people in his journey. And what he found out is that many of the Christians were being persecuted, and he put a fund together, an organization, to basically help to rescue and restore them. Well, Glenn Beck heard about it, invited Johnny, and together they worked on the Nazarene Fund, gathering resources, funds, money to go rescue these Christians. Well, at first, I believe the goal was about $1 million. Then they raised it to $10 million. And now it reached a total of $13 million that Glenn Beck's viewers donated for the rescuing of Christians. Well, ABC 2020 has picked up this adventure, and what you're about to see is truly going to warm your heart. We want to go straight to this coverage. They did an excellent job, and I want to just encourage you that God is answering our prayers, and because of our prayers and because of the mercies of God, Iraqi Christians today have been rescued and restored. Watch this.
This is where we need to go, I think.
As Joseph and Michelle Assad work their way across the globe, their minds are focused on their destination.
All right, we gotta catch our flight.
The northern Iraqi city of Erbil, where the ancient citadel and bustling central market sit amid a forest of half-built high-rises. The streets, for the most part, are peaceful. But a savage war is just on the horizon. The city is unmistakably Muslim. But drive into the district of Ankawa and you pass a statue of the Virgin Mary. You enter an area Christians have been calling home for 1,000 years. We enter the grounds of a modest church called Mar Aliyah to meet Father Douglas Bazzi.
Hello, Father Douglas.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth.
For years, he has been here reading the gospel written in Aramaic, the language of Iraqi Christians, and the original language of Jesus. But Mar Aliyah is more than a house of worship. Today, it is a haven for 560 Christian refugees who have fled the horrors of ISIS, living here in the courtyard for the past 15 months, less than an hour's drive from the fighting.
How concerned are you about the security situation? How concerned are the people who live here?
Do you think we have choices? We don't have choices here. I'm surprised how my people still exist here.
By the way, I never call it camp.
You don't call it a camp?
No, I call it center.
Uh-huh.
Under an asphalt sky, Father Douglas leads us into the warren of metal containers called caravans.
So obviously this is the wash, and this is where they
cook. Yeah.
Each one housing an entire family.
How many people live here?
Six.
Six people in this?
Yeah.
In this
caravan.
And as we spoke to the people surviving here, we pieced together the story of how this all came to be.
Actually, it was terrible. I don't want to remember that.
The refugees come from a town called Karakosh, once a town of 50,000, the largest Christian-majority city in Iraq.
We thought like Karakosh is a peaceful place.
On August 6th, 2014, that all ended when ISIS mortars began raining down from the sky. Lillian Sakat is a 24-year-old kindergarten teacher.
When they began bombing, two children and a woman died.
Oh, come on.
Just days before, in a nearby town, ISIS took women and young girls as sex slaves. So for Rita Khalil and her older sister Rania, the choice was simple.
Was that part of why you knew you had to run?
Of course, we are so scared to do the same thing with us.
Within hours, tens of thousands of people fled the town in chaos and headed for the safety of Erbil. The roads were choked with people and dust. Nisan Butras, a retired pharmacist, captured the terror of that night on videotape. His family of 10 packed into the back of his truck.
What was that like? It must have been chaos.
It is a difficult night. Dust and child cannot able to breathe oxygen.
Others fled with little more than their most precious possessions. A Bible, a flute, a rosary, identification papers. That night, with traffic helplessly snarled, many of the refugees abandoned their vehicles and set off on foot and literally walked through the valley of the shadow of death.
They began walking?
Yeah, they began walking. And there was a lot of dust, and they were just shooting in the air. Everyone was afraid.
Father Douglas has firsthand experience of religious persecution. In 2006, he was kidnapped by Islamic extremists and tortured for 9 days. They broke his teeth, his nose, and his back.
I got shot in my leg. Still, the bullet's
where?
It's still here.
The bullet is still in your leg?
Yeah.
So as the Karakosh refugees began streaming into his church, he was happy to offer them a safe haven from the horror.
When people arrive, they were completely lost and confused. They were refusing even to eat because they say, I lost everything, why should I live?
ISIS soldiers soon invaded the town. Their demands were simple and harsh.
They were given an ultimatum, 24 hours, yeah. Convert or leave.
Or be killed or to be converted.
ISIS went about its usual business, terrorizing residents who stayed. Seizing Christian homes, marking each one with the Arabic letter Noon for Nazarene. Just as they did in these nearby towns, desecrating churches.
They pulled down the cross on the church and put the flag of ISIS over all church in
so Karakosh. Instead of the cross on top, there's the flag of ISIS.
Meanwhile, Father Douglas prepared to host his new guests for an extended stay. As the days became weeks and then months, the refugees went from sleeping on the ground to sleeping in tents, and finally to the caravans we saw today. It is not the world's grittiest refugee camp, but conditions here are bleak. Children sleep like sardines. Space heaters are the only way to keep warm, as long as the electricity is running. And hundreds of people share a handful of communal bathrooms.
The same toilet, the same showers. Mm-hmm. So we have this facility here is for men and for women.
Still, everywhere we are met with friendly smiles. We notice that nearly half the camp is under the age of 18.
Hello, hello. Oh, is she blowing you kisses? That's so sweet.
Come in. Marhaba.
During the last year, 8 babies were born. This little girl, named Flower of the Spring, is just 12 days old.
Oh, she's so beautiful.
All of life happening in your courtyard?
I cannot tell my people to slow down. In our culture, at least to have occasion for happiness, is better to not be sadness.
There are even weddings like this one. The people preserving their endangered culture. And with this nativity scene at the courtyard, preserving their religion. Home is where Jesus is.
They took our houses, and we became one family. They took our churches, and now we became one church. Look to our faces. Actually, we took from them everything.
The refugees know they can't stay here forever, but where do they go? The answer, when it comes, is surprising. It comes from that unlikely American couple, Joseph and Michelle Assad. now making their way here with an audacious and risky plan.
I'm worried because I have a lot of people, man, on the line.
And a magic suitcase to make it all happen.
This is incredible. It is, it's becoming a reality.
The countdown has begun for a journey that will rescue 149 people from the cramped containers that have been their haven from the tyranny of ISIS. As they walk through the gates of the Mar Aliyah Church, this is the future the Assads are fighting to protect.
Every single person that we have interviewed, they've said, this is not about us. We want to leave here for our children so they can have a future.
At first glance, this seems like any ordinary schoolyard. But look a little closer, and you can see the cost of growing up in a war zone.
I remember very well when kids arrive, we ask them what you want to be in the future. So half of them, they were looking to be soldiers. And another half, they want to be police officers. They were completely lost, confused, selfish.
But the shadow of ISIS still looms large in their lives. What are you afraid of about ISIS, asks Father Douglas.
Everything, Father Douglas. I'm even afraid of their name.
But help for these girls and their families is soon to come from an unexpected source. Both their plight and their piety have drawn the attention of Christian advocates around the world, including radio personality and author Glenn Beck.
How did you settle on this particular church, this particular group of refugees?
It was a size that was manageable. Martin Luther King says you can't fight hate with hate, you have to fight it with love.
Beck told the story of these Christian refugees on his radio show and helped raise nearly $12 million to find them a safe, permanent home. They are counting on two uniquely qualified people to get the job done.
Hi.
Contracted by the Hudson Institute Center for Religious Freedom, Joseph and Michelle have spent the past 4 months forging a close partnership with Father Douglas.
What made you decide to actually do something about this?
I am an immigrant. I came to this country fleeing religious persecution. As you know, Christians speak the language of Jesus and have been there for 2,000 years, and they were at a real risk of being completely wiped out.
But you're only rescuing Christians.
We are rescuing people that are most vulnerable.
More vulnerable than Muslims?
The vast majority of the victims of ISIS are Muslim, but the Christians, who ISIS has also persecuted, suffer as well. The challenges to rescuing them will be daunting. Getting visas, securing a charter plane, negotiating with their host country, Slovakia. It will take the A-team to execute this true life mission impossible, the evacuation of 149 Iraqi Christians.
I'm curious, how did you pick Slovakia?
We knocked on many doors. Yes. We have tried with at least a dozen countries.
A dozen countries, yes. Turned you down?
They have.
Slovakia, a predominantly Catholic country, is refusing to accept Muslim refugees, but did agree to open its doors to 25 Christian Iraqi families. The plan, a charter plane to fly the refugees from Erbil to the Slovakian city of Košice, house them in this reception center temporarily, and then settle them permanently in the city of Nitra. The mission to save these refugees had just gotten underway when terrorist attacks in Paris set off anti-immigrant paranoia around the world.
The French president has called it an act of war by ISIS.
A multi-country manhunt intensifies.
In the end, Slovakia agreed to provide safe harbor, but to prevent terrorists from slipping past their borders, the Assads, experts in counter-terrorism, begin an intensive security investigation of every member of every family.
Why do you want to leave Iraq? And we ask for everything about them and their families, their former jobs, whether they've ever worked for military or intelligence before.
I have here citizenship certificates.
Of the 560 refugees sheltering at Father Douglas's church, 149 cleared the security check for group one.
So you're 100% confident that you're not rescuing anybody who could be a terrorist.
Very Absolutely. Confident of that, yes.
Once the refugees pass their background interviews, they get fingerprinted at the embassy for visas.
More than half is Finnish. I think tomorrow will be all.
Okay.
Oh, I feel so much better.
But the way out is far from safe. Joseph's sources tell him that Russian airstrikes on ISIS targets may be imminent.
We're just hoping that the Erbil airspace will remain open for our charter to be able to get these people out.
Despite the potential setback, Joseph and his security consultant begin the crucial dry run of the ride to the airport. It is a mission fraught with danger.
Anytime you have a large group of people, that creates a bigger target.
The perfect route, the one with the fewest turns.
This is a choke point. We want it to go straight from where the people are and make one right turn. So we're gonna redo this route. Hopefully we won't make any wrong turns again. There's another checkpoint. No cameras, please.
These are the kind of little kinks that we're trying to work out so we can just sail through.
Why are you trying to keep it on the down low still?
There is an intent by ISIS to attack an undefined location in Erbil.
They're ISIS targets with a capital T.
They are.
Yeah, indeed.
They are.
While Joseph finishes his test for the airport route, Majida Habib is cooking in the camp kitchen. She and her family were one of the first to clear the Assad's security check.
Majida is the most passionate person I have met in this camp. She is the life of this camp and is always concerned about keeping the group together.
Majida has five daughters and one son. One daughter, Valentina, once worked as a nurse. This family of eight has little but each other, and their hardship draws them even closer.
So you're gonna mix this all together with the onions and the almonds and the
But when I visit Majida in the kitchen the next day, her enthusiasm is shadowed by doubt about the great escape.
It's hard for me because I think of what's going to happen when I go. I think of what I'm going to do over there. I don't know.
Do you hope to cook for people in Slovakia when you get there?
This is what I love to do. So when I go there, if I could learn just a little bit of the language, I can open a restaurant.
You clearly love your country very, very much. It must be hard to have to leave this behind and to go someplace else.
Head.
Oh, I didn't mean to make you cry.
It's very difficult.
As tears fill her eyes, all of the women in Majida's kitchen begin to weep.
They've become my family. They've become my sisters. It's very difficult for me to leave them.
But she is determined to forge a better future for her family. Later that day, we watch her stubborn tenacity as she struggles through a Slovakian language class. At that moment, Majida doesn't know that she's one step closer to her dream. Joseph Assad has just been given a suitcase full of hope.
This is incredible. This is everybody's passport right here. I'll show you an example. This is passport of one of the young girls with the national visa to Slovakia. It is it's becoming a reality.
Everything seems to be going according to plan.
Okay.
But Joseph is about to get disturbing news about the airport as Russia prepares to fire missiles on ISIS targets.
Security incident. We assume that that's the same thing. Excuse me, I have to get this phone call.
We have been told that the airport's going to be shut down. We haven't been given a reason why, but...
Isn't this amazing? I want to remind you of Father Douglas's words. He says, they took away our houses and we've become one family. They took away our churches, and now we've become one church.
Steve, is this not amazing?
It just breaks your heart just seeing the reality of what people are, like, this is their life right now. This is what they're enduring.
This is real.
And to see, like, you know, when you're hearing some of the people that just say, this is all they have is each other, and this hardship is bringing them closer.
Well, listen, we want to quickly get right back to watching all of this unfold. Let's watch now.
It's the night before D-Day, just 12 hours before takeoff.
Hello.
And Father Douglas's church is electric with excitement.
Slovakia.
All over the camp, people are making their final preparations. Nissan packing with his grandchildren.
How do you pack for a trip like this?
It's a hard decision to make. Can we get the things that we love in our new country? Should I bring my cooking spices? You know, all these little questions.
Maybe I finish with this.
19-year-old Rita Khalil struggles just after the lights cut out to close an overstuffed bag.
You know, they are so cold, so I must have a lot of clothes.
Is there anything that you had to leave behind?
Yeah.
What?
My friends.
They stand by, tearful, but supportive.
It's painful. It's good.
It's going to be a very exciting day tomorrow.
Yeah, we are so excited
to make a snowman.
A snowman.
Thank you. It is simple dreams, but it's beautiful for us.
It is early evening when hundreds of people flood the tiny church for a final blessing. Faith and hope will be their constant companions for the long journey into an unknown land. But the long day of preparation and farewells has brought these families to their breaking point. Will they ever see each other again? Will there be another airlift? No one knows for certain, and that uncertainty is explosive.
Maybe people need to let that emotion go, you know? They need more to say goodbye to each other. They would dream that they are leaving, you know, that this will be the last night to them.
Were you ready to see them go?
Yeah.
One more hug, one last goodbye.
God willing, God protect you. Amen.
Then Joseph gets a bombshell. After days of worry and planning, the airport is about to shut down.
It's going to be closed for the next 48 hours due to a security incident. We assume that that's the same thing. Excuse me, I have to get this phone call.
We have been told that the airport's going to be shut down for about 48 hours. We haven't been given a reason why.
The news leaves Majida's face blank with shock. Nissan seems resigned to wait a little longer.
What do you think?
No problems.
For 48 hours, the airport in Erbil closes down as Russian missiles rain down on ISIS targets. The missiles are dangerously close to all flight paths in and out of Iraq. Suddenly, world events seem to scuttle their escape.
Act of terror inspired by ISIS.
At least 14 dead, 17 injured.
Anti-refugee rhetoric intensifies around the world against Muslims.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Against anyone. To make matters worse, the Slovakian prime minister, pressured by public opinion, makes an announcement. The refugees of Mar Alia might never be allowed to integrate into local villages.
One of the mayors, he called the prime minister, saying, oh, you're bringing terrorists. How could be terrorists speak the language of Jesus?
It's disturbing news for Father Douglas.
My feeling is confused and a little bit between happiness and sadness. To take my people away, it's not easy. I must God forgive me if this wrong project. I will not forgive myself if any one of my people is not happy or not comfortable. I will feel guilty of that.
2 days later, the airport opens. The families are told they will leave the next morning.
Let's take a picture.
Rita, a typical teenage selfie addict, immortalizes these last few moments on her iPhone. With her hair flat ironed straight and her vibrantly green fingernails, Rita is ready to go. That night, the Assads launch the next phase in their plan, the collection of hundreds of identical black bags. Each person restricted to 80 pounds of belongings.
27.
With military precision, each bag is weighed, tagged, and color-coded to its bus number.
Eight bags.
Majida, part of the Red Group, rushes up with her family's precious cargo. Amongst the bustling confusion, it's business as usual for Nissan.
Manila, take it, please.
Okay, all right, thank you very much.
But what these families don't know is that their voyage is still in peril. The 2-day delay has come at a cost.
Hello? They cannot do it tomorrow. They're saying that it will take 24 hours to get landing permit in Erbil.
The plane Joseph scheduled for the airlift is no longer available.
People have visas. They're travelers.
Help me fill in the blanks.
As the hours tick by, the window for finding an available charter is beginning to close.
I feel very responsible for them. I can't sleep, I can't eat. I have to make sure to get out.
He's scrambling several options for a new charter plane, but none seems reliable.
I don't trust him.
With his options narrowing, Joseph begins to panic.
The whole situation with aviation is just really constantly changing, and it is extremely frustrating. Do you have some news?
As this perfect storm of events converges, will the Assad's carefully planned evacuation work? After trials and tribulations, the plague of delays, setbacks, and snafus, a new day dawns over Iraq, and the Assads receive a message that seems heaven-sent. A fully authorized charter contract has arrived.
That is really our ticket.
The evacuation is finally a go.
It was hard to get into Iraq, and now it's been very difficult to get out of Iraq.
For Joseph, an immigrant himself who came to the U.S. from Egypt at the age of 19, it feels like his whole life has been a rehearsal for this.
This is about giving people hope, giving them the chance that somebody once took on me.
Father Douglas leads them in a prayer. Now the countdown is on. The camp is told the flight is taking off that evening. The luggage truck arrives, and as their modest possessions are loaded up, Nissan and Majida gather their families. The reality of the departure starts setting in.
It's heart-wrenching watching them say goodbye to each other. This is the hardest part, I think.
Rita is having a tough time as she and the other evacuees assemble on the playground. Those staying behind press against the fence. The agonizing heartache of the impending separation rippling through the crowd. Nissan stays positive. He knows there are those in Slovakia who don't want him there, but he's confident he can change their minds.
Few of people in Slovakia said, all people in Iraq is ISIS. When all family hears reach Slovakia, at this time, they show the opposite.
Fabian Bassam. Father Douglas hands out the precious passports. And now, after months of preparation and days of delay, the exodus happens all at once. The refugees climb into the buses, first Majida, then Rita, then Nissan. And now Joseph's attention shifts to his next concern, security threats on the drive to the airport.
We have a lot of eyes and ears now just to make sure that the movement goes smooth.
As the convoy departs, Majida goes to pieces. The buses follow the prescribed route precisely, but something is wrong. The original plan was to leave in the early morning. Instead, the evacuation is happening in the teeth of the Erbil rush hour.
I did not realize how bad the Ankawa rush hour could be because we get separated from other vehicles.
Halfway to the airport, at the point of maximum exposure, the convoy stops at the side of the road. It's enough of a danger that our security consultant springs into action.
Perhaps some overzealous driving. It's the road traffic accident actually was the biggest threat, moving these people.
Inside the buses, people are oblivious to the threat outside. On Majida's, a song breaks out. While on Nissan's, the family patriarch is all smiles. The traffic may be bad, the risk's real, but he has seen worse, much worse, on the night they fled Karakosh. As the evacuees glimpse their last Iraqi sunset, the buses arrive safely at the airport.
It's very good.
And already it feels like they're in a foreign country. For most of them, this is their first time flying. The luggage carts, the check-in process, everything is a new experience.
I'm nervous a little bit. We want to be quiet and organizer.
The first family just checked in.
Majida's daughter asks Joseph to decode her seating assignment.
She's asked if B is going to be a window or an aisle.
But of all the novelties of modern air travel, Nissan says the most noticeable is central heating.
Very hot, very warm.
It's certainly much toastier here than back at the camp.
First time in an airport, first time on a plane. One just came and asked if they had something to calm their nerves.
I'm scared.
The flight is called. And then the first glimpse of their chartered ARC, an Airbus A320 that will carry them away.
It's a real plane.
It's a real plane.
We are leaving.
This is like we are leaving.
We are leaving.
Yay. People are finally leaving.
The passengers settle in. They're actually paying attention to the safety instructions, and the plane pushes back with no delay. The lights dim, and on takeoff, a cheer goes up. As on a wing and a prayer, the people of Karakosh break free of the bonds of their bloodied country and the atrocities of ISIS. Out the window, passengers strain to get one last look at their lost ancestral home before it slips into the darkness forever. The rows resemble pews as Father Douglas walks the aisle, providing comfort and reassurance. For tonight, at least, the skies above Iraq and Turkey are sufficiently friendly. No word of warplanes or missiles to disrupt safe passage. And 2.5 hours later, another celebration erupts as the flight touches down in Košice. A team from the Slovakian diocese is there to greet them.
We're going to Slovakia.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you very much.
Welcome, welcome.
We made it.
We just landed in Košice.
Yeah.
And as the Iraqis take their first steps in their new homeland, they give thanks to their hosts and to their God.
Great thanks to God. Great thanks to the government of Slovakia.
Oh, I'm so excited to see Slovakia, and now I'm very happy.
And an extra blessing. It's not nearly as cold as they expected.
I was scared from the weather, and now it's very beautiful.
As the group works its way through immigration, Father Douglas and the Assads address the local press.
This Christian, we are among the most needy refugee. Slovakia accept my people. They took the stand.
So far, the arrival couldn't have gone much smoother. But the people of Karakosh still have miles to go before they sleep. And when they arrive, what kind of welcome awaits them?
They're afraid that this is a new place. They're afraid, how are people going to...
Wow. Gratitude is such a beautiful thing. Wow. Let's go right back and let's join the Iraqis as they are... Iraqi brothers and sisters as they're relocating. Watch this.
On their first full day in Slovakia, the newly arrived Karakosh refugees awake to the relief and the reality of life in the promised land.
Good morning.
I get up early because it is the first sleep here.
This reception center has a more institutional feel than the caravans in the courtyard of Mar Alia. This may be their land of milk and honey, but for now the meals are served cafeteria style, and the rooms are like barracks. Worst of all, Majida and the other families won't be able to leave this compound and move into their promised homes for at least 6 weeks.
Everything is monitored here so that nobody can enter or leave.
Yes.
The locals have tried to make the center as welcoming as possible. There's a TV room, a chapel, a playroom, and a language classroom with colorful learning aids on the walls. We see Majida's name on a door to her family's room.
She was the camp cook for a while.
Down the hall, a small kitchenette for coffee and tea. No cooking allowed.
Are you concerned at all about the fact that they will be here in a European country with unable to cook food that they're used to eating?
We're committed to making the first few weeks, days, even months as easy as possible for them. And so if they don't have to worry about what they're going to eat, you know, then I think that's a good thing.
But despite all those restrictions, for today at least, hope outweighs homesickness.
We feel peace. We are happy. Some people are worried, but it's with time. This will be okay.
The language barriers are daunting. There is a single translator, but a smile is understood anywhere. The children take to their new playground immediately, while for the adults, there is much official processing still to do. The refugees have been forewarned about the tedium and the frustration they can expect. But compared to how other refugees are being received in other countries, they are the lucky ones. Joseph and Michelle say the Slovakians are to be praised for their hospitality and humanity. Remember, 12 other countries said no before Slovakia said yes.
We are so proud of Slovakia. They were very courageous to make this decision, and it wasn't an easy one to make, and yet they did. They opened their arms.
And I tell people, don't be afraid of refugees. There is a way to show compassion and do it intelligently, do it the smart way.
In a simple ceremony, the Slovakians pass around bread and salt, a traditional gesture of welcome. Then the Iraqis perform a traditional dance. Their culture may be flirting with extinction, but for today at least, it survives. And despite the myriad differences and unfamiliarities, the new arrivals and their hosts are at least united in their faith. Joined by his Slovakian colleagues, Father Douglas performs one final mass for his flock.
He took great care about telling them, be good stewards of what was offered to you here. Become good citizens and be peaceful.
Signori.
To everything, there is a season, and now it is both the time to laugh and the time to weep. Father Douglas is saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Inshallah.
When I saw the tears of my people, they are glad because they are leaving the situation, a genocide, a persecution, what is going on in my country. But at the same time, they are saying goodbye to the community.
There is a safer place, but without Father Douglas, it's nothing for us.
For Michelle and Joseph Assad, it is mission accomplished.
For us to come at the end of this, and it is very emotional.
It's hard to summarize, but in a word, we would use miracle.
They are heading home to Florida for Christmas. While back behind the gates of Mar Elia, the remaining refugees will celebrate the birth of their savior here, looking with faith to the future.
Right now, there's other people that are left behind that we have to help. I think we'll just go back and recharge for a little bit, and we'll be back at it again.
In bitter cold, Maryam Bagdeda does her homework by the light of a tiny oil heater. She is one of the tens of thousands of refugees who have fled to Erbil, living in camps like these, often without running water, heat, and sporadic electricity.
Do you think that you could ever forgive ISIS for what has happened to you and your family?
Allah jarabna. قال انتوا راح تسامحون الناس اللي طلعوكم فهذا الشيء لازم نتعلمه التسامح.
Maryam dreams of being an architect or maybe a doctor, but most of all she hopes to go home someday.
What are your dreams now? What do you hope for in your life?
أمالي للحياة انه ما يصير اكو حروب لانه لو ما صار اكو حروب راح تصير محبة واذا اكو محبة يصير اكو عدل.
It's very nice to meet you, Miriam, and have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Wow, wasn't that special?
It just breaks your heart just watching that. It does. It's just to see that. Powerful.
Absolutely powerful. Listen, this is what happens when the church prays. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one person. It was on his heart, Johnny Moore. Mm-hmm. And he began to start saying something has to be done. You know, we can talk about it. Yes, we pray, but then we accompany our prayers with mm-hmm. actions. And before you know it, God starts opening doors.
A miracle.
And $13 million was raised. A beautiful, beautiful story. And there's more work to be done. We want to pray for you. We encourage you to please pray for us. Let's just go to the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful, wonderful thing that you were able to do, God. We know there was nothing but a miracle from heaven, Lord, to rescue our brothers and sisters, Lord, that were being persecuted in Iraq. Father, we pray that you'd be with all of those that are being persecuted all over the world. And Father, that you would rescue them. Father, we pray for mercy. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll